Good morning. I bring you greetings in the precious name of Jesus. It's been a joy and a privilege to be here this morning and to be together in the house of God this morning. I too want to welcome everyone to the service this morning. See, Steve and Veronica brought at least some of your family. I don't know if it's all your family or not, but at least some of your family. Good to have you guys here with us this morning. Welcome. We're glad you're here. It's good to have Amanda here and is it Brian? All right, that's what I thought. Good to have you guys here again as well, and to have you with us this morning. I too want to wish you all a happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers that are here, to you ladies. And if you're here this morning and perhaps you're not a mother yet, or you can't be a mother, or whatever the case may be, I still want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. You care for your spouse, you care for others, you probably care for children in different situations, so I simply want to take a moment to recognize each of you as ladies today. Whatever role you're in, whatever position in life you are, I want to wish you God's blessings throughout today. So obviously, today being Mother's Day, I had to try and decide what I'm going to preach about this morning. And so I am going to preach a little bit of a Mother's Day message. And as I step back and I was trying to think and ponder a little bit, I had to think what society tells us that a woman is today. And I don't know, this might be a bit of a different thing, but depending who you talk to in society, they won't tell you what a woman is because it's too stereotypical or it's offensive to something. And I don't want to be offensive this morning, but as I step back and I thought about what society tells us about a woman today, the modern woman in today's society is very independent. She doesn't need anyone's help. She definitely doesn't need a man's help to do anything or to succeed as she goes through life. She can do whatever she wants. Most likely she carries a briefcase or she works in an office or some kind of job that she has. She probably works out several times a week. She exercises. She's busy in her office job. She may or may not have children, depending on what she wants to do. That's up to her to decide. So she may or may not have children. And if she does have children, there's a good chance they probably are in sports and all kinds of other activities, which isn't necessarily wrong, but probably for at least some ladies, they do all these activities simply so that she doesn't have to constantly be bothered by her children all the time. You can say that's me surmising or making things up, but I'm going to assume that's the case, at least in some situations. The modern lady today probably doesn't cook much, and she definitely doesn't clean a whole lot either. And obviously, she is independent and has the same abilities and can do anything that a man can do as well. And I'm not saying all of that is wrong in and of itself, but that's the woman of today, very, very strong, very bold, very independent. And so what I want to do is go into the scriptures this morning, and I want to look at what the Bible tells us about a virtuous woman. What does the Bible call a virtuous woman, and what traits does this woman have as we go into the scriptures? I'm going to go into the book of Proverbs, chapter 31 this morning, and I'm going to try and look at the entire chapter if I don't run out of time. And there's going to be parts of it I'm probably just going to kind of skip over because we just don't have time to dig into all these specific little things that we could. But I'm going to go to Proverbs 31. And up to this point in Proverbs, we've seen throughout Proverbs, it references, you could say, different women throughout the book of Proverbs. There's an adulterous woman. There's a rebellious woman. There's a woman who leads her husband astray through what she tells him. All of these different things. But as we get into chapter 31, it tells us about the virtuous woman, or you could say a good woman, a righteous woman. You could say here. So I'm going to start in Proverbs 31. I'm going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read about the first 9 verses to get started this morning. So Proverbs 31, starting in verse 1, it says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways, which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. And I'm going to stop reading right there for just a moment. So here we see it is addressed to King Lemuel, which, as I understand, there is no King Lemuel throughout history. So most biblical scholars agree this was Solomon's mother giving him words of wisdom. As she looked at his life and what was to come in his life, obviously, we know that he was destined to become king over Israel at some point in time. So his mother now is taking the time to give him some instruction and to give him some guidance as he goes throughout life. So she starts in verse 3 and she gets very blunt and to the point. She says, don't give your strength unto women. Don't get led astray by, I don't know what you want to put in there. You could say perhaps prostitutes or the ladies that are going to come after you. Leave them alone and don't give your strength to them. Don't be overcome by them, but keep on a steady path. And then she continues on in verses 4, 5, 6, on kind of through the rest of the verses that we read. She talks about not taking up strong drink. So she said, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. She says, because, putting it in my own words this morning in verse 5, she says, because if they do, they forget the law and they pervert judgment of any of the afflicted. So for those people who don't have much of a voice, perhaps they're living in poverty, whatever the case is, if you start drinking, if you start taking alcohol, if you start doing all of those things, your mind gets foggy, judgment gets perverted, and these people kind of get left off to the side. And then she says in verses 8 and 9, she says, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. So rather than getting caught up in ladies and rather than getting caught up in the wine and alcohol and the strong drink, she says, open your mouth for those who can't speak for themselves, and open your mouth for the poor and for the needy and for those that are getting ready to be put to death, and plead with them and talk to them and be the king on their behalf. So she gives him some very strong encouragement to open up this chapter, and it's just kind of fascinating to see. And so she gives him some, I kind of say, some basic life things to look at. Here's a few principles, just very basic principles to apply to your life right at the very beginning. And here's those things she lays out. Then, continuing on, I'm going to start in verse 10, and I'm going to read through the rest of the chapter. There's about, the total chapter is 31 verses. So we'll start in verse 10, and I'll read through the end of the chapter. And we're going to find out what she tells him next. So after you've done these things, once you give away the drink and the ladies and the other things, as you open your mouth and you care for those that are, you could say, less fortunate than you, then she launches into the next part. She says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. The fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. Verse 20, she stretched out her hand to the poor. Yea, she stretcheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sitteth among the elders of the land, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And I'm going to stop reading right there. So starting in verse 10, his mother continues on, and she tells him very specifically that who can find a virtuous woman? And in case the men are wondering, there's also, I didn't write down the exact text, but there's a portion of Proverbs that says something similar to who can find a virtuous man as well. So it's not just the ladies, but she's giving him a challenge perhaps. And she tells, and to a certain degree, you could say, who can find a virtuous woman? And then she says, for her price is far above rubies. So if you find her, she's extremely valuable. So as I looked this up, I looked up what does virtuous mean just for the sake of having the definition, and it says, a person who has high moral standards, goodness, and righteousness. So you could probably break it down, and you could say someone who has traits like honesty, kindness, integrity, all of those different things, that is a virtuous person, you could say. So if you find a virtuous woman, a woman who carries all of those traits, who has all of those things, then she says her price is far above rubies. She is more valuable than anything that you can compare her to. I don't think he's specifically saying just rubies, but I think she's trying to drive home a point that if you find a woman like that, a wife like that, or a spouse like that, then her price is far above rubies if she has all of those values. So then she continues on, and the first thing that I jotted down, kind of for point number one, I just called it the Proverbs wife's character. I don't know, perhaps you could say the Proverbs lady's character, whatever you want to call it. But she goes on from there, and she says in verse 11 that the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. And then in verse 12, it says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. As I understand it, in this time period here that this was written in, it was common for the husbands, and perhaps you could say even into today's society somewhat throughout the Middle East, it's somewhat common for the husband to not treat his wife as an equal partner in their relationship, in their marriage relationship. In the Middle East today, there's still countries that are very strict, especially in some of the Muslim countries where this is very much applied, where ladies don't have a whole lot of equal standing compared to the men in society. And that's how it was in many of the marriage relationships during this time, as I understand it. And it got to the point that it was so bad that the men, when they would leave their home, whether it was during the day, whether they went away on travels or whatever, they would lock up the valuables of their homes so that while they were gone, their wife wouldn't have the opportunity to go raid their valuables and sell it or take off with it. That's how bad it was at this point in time. It's also the reason that many men had, as the Bible sometimes calls them, concubines, or you could say relationships outside of their marriage, for the simple fact that they did not view their spouse as equal to them in their marriage relationship. So she starts by focusing on the wife's character. How is her character? To you ladies this morning, how is your character? So she tells him that a wife's character needs to be high and it needs to be strong. So it says the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. Obviously, if she's a person of low character, or if she doesn't have a whole lot with her, then the heart of her husband isn't going to safely trust in her. Perhaps he hides the credit card when he leaves the house. I don't know. But that's what happens to, you could say, a lady of low character. If she doesn't have a high character, then her husband's heart probably isn't totally going to trust in her. And obviously that goes for the men as well. The men have to have character and integrity and honesty and all of those things as well for their wives to trust in them also. The marriage relationship has to be, I say at least to a certain degree, equal standing with each other. Obviously, the husband is to be the head of the home. We recognize that, but there needs to be some equal footing in the marriage relationship as well. So what does she say? The heart of her husband trusts in her because of her honesty, because of her integrity, because of how upright and moral character she is. Her husband's heart is in there so that he shall have no need of spoil. He won't have any need to go outside and look around. And then verse 12, it says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So she says, the godly wife, the wife, a virtuous woman, a godly woman, will look to only do good things for her husband. She helps to build him up and to encourage him as he goes through life, in his spiritual life. She'll walk beside him, again, encouraging him, pushing him forward as he endeavors into different things. And going into whatever it is he does, whether it's in the spiritual life, whether it's something with the children, something with the family, whether he's doing something in the business world, she will walk beside him and continue to push him forward and to encourage him forward to be the best that he can be at everything that he does. Looking to do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Wives, encourage your husbands. There's a saying that says something to the effect that a leader is only as good as his wife that comes with him. Something like that. I probably butchered it really bad. But you get the idea. A husband, can I say, can only lead as good as a spouse will walk beside him and encourage him and push him and listen to him and all the different things that happen. Ladies, I'll encourage you as well. Listen to your men once in a while. Sometimes men put on a brave face and everything looks okay, but when you start digging and you start asking questions, they need a time to sometimes, I think, vent and let things out as well as they go throughout life. Men, obviously, this isn't a free pass for you to do whatever you want. You have to pull your weight. You have to do what your godly calling is as the head of your home and as the head of your family. But wives, you play a tremendous role in supporting your husband in that responsibility. Verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Again, many biblical scholars think that this goes back to the time period. So inside the city gates was a council, you could say the council of old men or the council of the wise men. There would be a group of men, they would sit inside the city gates, and they were kind of the council of the wise, you could say. People would come to them with disputes or with questions or whatever. They would bring it to this council, and these men would help to resolve issues or give advice or to give words of wisdom or direction, whatever was needed. Maybe sometimes they brought discipline, whatever it was. But that was the council, and that seems to be the council that she's referring to here. So her husband sits in the gates, and he is known in the gates, it says. So he's well thought of, and people respect him, and people honor him for who he is. Why? Because I think, according as to this, and as if his wife is truly intending to do good and not evil all the days of her life and all the days of his life, you could say, and if he's doing his part in the relationship as well, when he sits in the gates, he's respected and well known. Why? I think in large part because of how his wife talks about him, how his wife views him, what his wife says to other people around him. Because when people look at her and they see her character and her integrity, and she doesn't squander the finances, and she doesn't do all these things, she doesn't run him down at every opportunity that she has. Rather, she takes every opportunity to try and show others the good things that he does and the good traits that he has and the good character that he has. So when he sits there, he's highly respected for that simple fact, because of his wife and how she lives and how she talks about her husband. Ladies, in case you don't know, I'll tell you this morning, I think as a man, probably one of the hardest things to deal with is when your wife or somebody, I'll just say anybody in general, but probably not just a spouse, but when somebody runs down your leadership or your authority or your, as you're trying to lead your family, when somebody talks down or runs over that or whatever you want to say, it's probably one of the hardest things for men to work through as they go through life. So again, encourage your husbands, walk beside them, listen to them, encourage them as they go through life. Live life with high moral character and with high character in general. Like I said, not squandering finances, not doing all those other things, not taking every opportunity to point out your husband's weak spots, but to encourage him in what he does well and to show that to other people also. I need to keep on moving. Number two, the Proverbs woman cares for her family. And that's what she starts to point after next. So she talks about her character and her moral uprightness. In verse 13, she says she seeks wool and flax, or you could replace flax with linen. I don't know what some of the other translations say, but that's what I found in reading through some commentaries. So she takes wool and linen and she works willingly with her hands. Most likely she's turning that into cloth so that she can provide clothes for her family. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She does whatever it takes to find a bargain for the family. Sometimes we complain when the wife goes far for a 50-cent coupon at wherever it might be. But that's what the virtuous woman does. She tries her best to provide the best that she can with her for her family using the least amount of resources. Verse 15 tells us that she gets up while it's yet night. I would assume he's trying to say early in the morning, and she giveth meat to her household. She starts to provide for them for the morning meal, perhaps, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. I really struggled to know what to do with verse 16, to be honest with you. So how many of you ladies are going out and buying a field and planting a vineyard and doing all those things? But I think to a certain degree, it's probably referring to the fact that she's doing whatever she has to for the good of the family. Perhaps she has bought and sold so much that she has a nest egg saved up that she can go out and buy a little piece of property and do what with it? She puts a vineyard on it, probably thinking ahead for the good of the family, not to the detriment of the family. I think that's one of the tough things in today's society. And again, I'm not opposed to you ladies having a job or doing whatever to try and help provide if you need to. Whatever needs to happen. But what I am going to encourage you this morning is don't do it to the detriment of your family. I think that's the thing that sticks out the most to me in this passage is everything she does is for the furtherance of the family or for the providing of the family or for the good of her husband or for the good of her children. It's not to lift herself up. It's not to get away from the family and hide. And I'm not saying you can't ever go away, but you get what I'm trying to say. She does it for the good of the family and for the furtherance and for everything so that she can provide more for them. So she's conscientious with her finances and all those things. She doesn't waste. She doesn't squander it away. Rather, she works hard and she gathers it together. If you go down to verse 24, it talks about how she makes fine linen and she sells it and she delivers girdles to the merchant. So that fabric that she made, she's sewn it, she's made things out of it, she's sold it away, she's brought money in, again, for the good of the family. Maybe that's how she can afford to purchase the field and have money left over to plant a vineyard as well. All these things that she does for the good of the family. Verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. One commentator seems to think that the lady shouldn't have to go to the gym to exercise. Rather, the strength should come from the everyday activities that they're doing. Take it how you want to this morning. There's a lot you could say, there's a lot you could not say. But she gets strength from her daily activities and the exercise that she needs. Her candle goeth not out by night. Again, as I understand it, they would pour oil into some kind of a basin and they would light it, and that light would burn all night long. And as I understand it, it was the lady's responsibility to wake up at some point during the night and make sure that there was enough oil in there that the light didn't go out. So she does that. She carries that responsibility as well. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. Sewing clothes, sewing things, again, for the good of the family. Verse 21 and 22. It says, she's not afraid of the snow for her household. I didn't realize, but they say it occasionally snows in Jerusalem or in Israel. But it says she's not afraid of that. Why? It says, for her household are clothed with scarlet. And I couldn't find exactly what that means. I tried to look in some commentaries. Not all of them even really address that specific verse. Some of them tend to think that she would dye like maybe wool or something, a scarlet color, a dark color to try and help absorb the heat and all of those things. I don't know exactly what it's saying, but I'm going to simply cap verse 21 by saying she has provided the clothes that her family needs for whatever situation that they're in. Whether it's hot, whether the snow is coming, whether it's cold, whether it's freezing, the family has what they need because she's provided it for them. And then in verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. And I, again, didn't know, so I tried to do a little research on this. And this, as I understand it, is basically she's made herself blankets and pillows and things for the home to make it comfortable and attractive and do all those things. And then it ends in verse 22 by saying her clothing is silk and purple. As I thought about all the responsibilities and all the thing, I had to think, you know, this poor lady is probably run ragged to the bone. If she's doing all these things and all these responsibilities, how can she possibly manage it all? But then at the end of verse 22, it says her clothing is silk and purple, which means that she's arrayed in the finest clothes that she can possibly wear, which probably also means that she looks as good and as cleaned up and as dressed up as she possibly can in the midst of everything else that she has done. Going back up to verse 20, number 3, I put down the Proverbs woman helps her neighbor. What does it say? She stretched out her hand to the poor. Yea, she stretcheth forth her hands to the needy. So not only does she care for her family, not only does she sew them clothes and go out and bring food in and do all these different things, get up during the night to make sure that the lamp is still burning, but she takes time to reach out to the people around her. She takes time to help those that are less fortunate. Maybe it's a neighbor who needs help with something. Maybe it's somebody from church, whatever the case is. She takes time and she stretches out her hand to help those people. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. The last thing that I want to look at this morning is the Proverbs woman speaks wisdom. And as we go into the last part of chapter 31, verse 26, it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Maybe we sometimes come down harder on the ladies. Maybe sometimes I think we need to come down harder on the men to not gossip. But we tend to look at the ladies when we start talking about that. But do you notice what it says here in verse 26? She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. That's how she speaks. In today's modern whatever, you could say she's not talking for the sake of talking. She's talking because she has something good to say, something kind to say, something wise to share with someone else. To you older ladies, take time and impart your wisdom with the younger ladies. Take time to hand out the little bits of wisdom that you have. And in her tongue is the law of kindness, speaking kind words and all of those things. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She looks well after her household. As you go down that list of things, the clothes and the fabric and the things she sells and how she goes out and she gets the food and she brings it in. She gets up while it's still dark outside and starts providing the daily meals. And she does all of these different things throughout the passage. She looks well after her household and she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. I don't know exactly what all that means. You could take it a lot of different directions. But I tend to think she probably doesn't have time left over to gossip and to carry on with other people if she's doing all of these things well. An encouragement for you this morning, ladies, is as we read these verses, I didn't notice where, I'm not quite sure how to say it. I'll basically say where your salvation hinges off of these things. Rather, it tells us that she's like the merchant ships that brings food from afar. So she's like that. She goes out and she finds a way to help provide for her family. She does all these different things. But this is the description of the virtuous woman. So as you go throughout life, I think it's something to try and attain to and try and something to live by. And you could say a roadmap for how to live life as a godly wife and as a mother and as whatever stage of life that you're in. To work, to live your life in this way. So she looks well after her household. She does all of these things. And what is the blessing for the virtuous woman as you come to the end of life and as you consider all these things? Verse 28 tells us that her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. And here's what her husband tells her: many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all, or you've done better than all the other virtuous people. And then in verse 30, it says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. I trust we know that, right? If you married your husband because of how he looks, or if you married your wife because of how she looks, maybe I'm wrong, but you might eventually be disappointed if that's the only thing that's holding you guys together. Hair gets gray. The stomach starts to fill out eventually. Things change. Eventually, he doesn't have the strong arms he did when you got married. And the skin starts to sag and the hands get wrinkly and old looking. If that's the only reason you're married to each other, you're going to be highly disappointed. But know this morning, men. If you have married a wife who is doing the best that she can to care for your family, and she is doing the best that she can to live out what's laid out here in Proverbs, then I think you can rejoice and you could say her price is far above rubies. But favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Beauty disappears eventually. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Is that not a tremendous blessing and something to hold on to for you as ladies, to live a faithful life, to care for your family, to provide for your family, to care for your children and your husband and all those things? There will be praise at the end of life, or there will be praise, you could say, throughout life. The people that go through life and live only for self and for their own ambitions or our own endeavors, I think when they come to the end of life, will probably have a lot of regrets and a lot of things that they would wish they did differently. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And I think probably not only by her children and by her husband, but by others around her as well. Verse 31 says, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her and the gates. I think I'm going to stop this morning. I feel very like I did a poor job of covering all of the bases this morning. But hopefully you can just get a little snapshot. To you as ladies, I want to again say thank you for all that you do for us men, for the family, for the children. Without you, there would be a lot of things in life that wouldn't be possible. But continue to faithfully push forward. Husbands, value your wife more than rubies. Because, like I said, if she's a virtuous woman and she's doing all these things, which I think I'm talking to a crowd of people this morning that are doing the best that they can to live this out, then each of us as men has something that is far more valuable than rubies. To you ladies, thank you for all your hard work and for your diligence. Keep that passage of scripture in mind as you go throughout the days. I know some days it's probably overwhelming, or it feels like it'll never end, or maybe it feels like you're never going to get any sleep at any point in life. But just know that it is valuable and that you are valued. And I think I can say on behalf of the men and children, you are loved and you are cared for as well. So let's continue to be faithful as we go through life. Husbands, love your wives. And honor them and care for them in everything that they do. Let's bow our heads for prayer, and then I'll turn it back over to John. God, we thank you and we praise you for the opportunity to gather in your house this morning and to fellowship together, to worship together. God, I thank you for each person and each family that's represented here this morning, and for faithful mothers, godly mothers who are seeking to strive after you with their whole heart. God, thank you for everything that the mothers do on a daily basis, for their care for the husbands and for the families and for all of the different aspects that go with that. God, I just pray that you would bless the mothers for all that they do and for all that they've done already. God, help us as husbands to value our wives much more than rubies and all of the valuable things, God. And I just pray that as we continue to go forward, that as families we could display to the rest of the world around us that you do care for us and that you do love us. There's so many broken families this morning. God, I just pray for those that are hurting, those that are lost. I think of those that are maybe celebrating Mother's Day this morning, but they've lost their own mother. God, would you bring comfort and would you bring care to those people as well this morning? We pray all these things in your name. Amen. I'll turn the time over to John.